Cricket on the Brain 24/7, 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast, every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And if we perform very well, we have a chance to make history. And, that's what we're working towards. And I think the players are ready, they're relaxed. And tomorrow we put on a top performance and it gives us a chance to make that history, as you say.
Don't you love it when a manager gets emotional on us? Tony Popovich going big picture on it ahead of the clash with Egypt. And he is right. History does beckon for everyone. A young Socceroos side, an ageing Egyptian superstar Mo Salah and his dodgy hamstring. All of it can lead to a potential meeting with Lionel Messi's Argentina for the victor. Everything is bigger in Texas, including World Cup knockout clashes. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Jack Snape is covering the World Cup for The Guardian. Half his luck. He's in Dallas, Texas, ahead of the Socceroos' must-win clash with Egypt. Jack, you've just been talking to Tony Popovich. Sounds as though he's gone all history on it. He's taken a big-picture lens to this clash between Australia and Egypt.
It was quite a charming press conference. We talked a lot about the history, the significance of this match. And obviously, Australia has never won a World Cup knockout match. They lost in 2006 to Italy in that heartbreaker, and again in 2022 when they went down to Argentina. And so this opportunity, this chance to make Australian football history was front of mind, not only for the journalists, but also for Tony Popovich.
We have a lot of respect for Australian football history. And I think, especially for the younger players to understand the pioneers that put Australian football on the map.
But he also said they're not getting carried away, right? History's done after the match. They feel like they're well prepared, but ultimately it'll come down to what happens on the field tomorrow. He did end, though, with this quite nice moment where he was talking about the degree to which this will be a team that is remembered in the future. And he believes the achievements they've already put together in this tournament are enough to make them a really historic team.
This group's already made history. You know, just the way they've performed, getting through the group, history's already been made. We have a chance tomorrow to make further history.
He linked the efforts of the achievements of this team with those of previous teams, like the Golden Generation, like the teams going back to 1974 that made the World Cup for the first time. And these were all echoes that were displayed in the team hotel. They had photos of these teams. They had old shirts. And he said he believes this current team will proudly sit on anyone's wall.
This group will already go down in history. And regardless of tomorrow, their photo, team photo, will proudly be up on any wall. And in particular, will be on mine.
So it's this quite nice, very genuine moment we got from Tony Popovich, a moment that is usually quite reserved and restrained. He doesn't give a lot about selection, those kinds of things. But yeah, he gave us something today we can use.
I mean, a notorious hard ass, and he's getting all sentimental on us as we get to the knockout stages of the tournament. I do wonder sometimes when you often hear coaches or players asked about these sorts of moments and what they've achieved to this date, and you get the sort of Kobe Bryant default answer, you know, job not done. I do find it interesting that he's kind of framed it as whatever happens, this has been a success.
You can never take being here for granted. You can never take any result for granted here at the World Cup. And we deserve to be here. We've earned it. Fantastic football team we are. And tomorrow's another chance to show even further our growth.
I'm intrigued to understand how he might set this team up against an Egyptian side that has shown us a propensity to be chaotic, attacking in waves. We've seen Australia set up in a defensive capacity against teams and be happy to play on the counter. We've seen them have more possession against Paraguay. Do you have a sense as to how, if they could tackle this game on their own terms, Australia would like to?
Everyone here is super excited about which direction Tony Popovich might take this team. Obviously, we've had a bunch of surprises before each match. Initially, you know, we had the Patrick Beach shocker in that first game, the couple of Matt Leckie, Nishan Volupele playing against the USA, and then that wholesale, I think, six changes against Paraguay. So we're desperate to see how Tony Popovich is going to make fools of us all as commentators, as observers. Against Egypt, which will be a very different game to the three they've played, right? I think it'll be more cat and mouse, times that we need to ride the pressure, others that we need to assert ourselves. I think it'll be really a compelling contest. And especially when it comes to this lineup, we might be in for a few more surprises. For example, on that right side of defense where Jacob Italiano, the starting right-sided fullback, has been injured. They went with Jordy Boss last time, but it wouldn't be a surprise to see Tony Popovich go more conservative, offering Jason Guerrier or Kai Truen, and maybe saving up that Jordy Boss on the right for later in the match if they need to chase the games. That's one big question mark. The other one is up front, right? We didn't see Mo Touré at all against Paraguay. We asked him in the mix zone briefly, is he okay? Was there any injury concerns? He's a player that hasn't played 90 minutes since November. But Tony Popovich said today, everyone's fit.
Yes. From what we have remaining here with our Matthew Leckie and Jacob Italiano, everyone else is fully fit.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see Mo Touré again being used, especially given Nestori Irenkunda was maybe not as effective in that central striker role. How are they going to approach the game? Are they going to press high? Are they going to let the Egyptians play? Is Salah's presence going to determine this game?
We have prepared for, obviously, Mohamed Salah playing. We've seen when he's not on the pitch, the players that are in those positions where he may play. So we've prepared for both scenarios and we'll see tomorrow.
These are all questions we're desperate to see how it all unfolds tomorrow.
Let's talk a little bit about Mo Salah, the captain, the talisman, you know, arguably Egypt's finest ever player. How big is this game for his legacy? And what sort of role are we expecting him to play given the hamstring injury and the injury cloud that he's been operating under as he leads into this clash with the Socceroos?
All right, let's talk injury first, right? Went off against Iran with about half an hour to go, was seen icing his left hamstring. The Egyptian coach confirmed it was a hamstring strain and it had a lot of Egyptian football fans freaking out because he had a similar injury for Liverpool in April. He came back just before the end of the English season. But there were concerns that, you know, with just a week turnaround between games, it'd be too soon. He trained initially at the start of the week in trainers, just doing some jogging, did some slightly more training the following day. But according to some vision we've seen, it looked like he was training with the larger group and he looked set to play. That's how we're characterizing it after talking to the Egyptian coach just before we spoke to Tony Popovich. He said that the passionate Mo Salah wants to play. It's a question of whether he'll start, whether he'll come off the bench. But he didn't totally rule out him maybe not playing. So it's definitely one we're going to watch in the hours ahead of the match and seeing how Salah looks. So Australia, they're going to have to be prepared for Salah. But for Salah himself, this is a really significant occasion, right? This is a guy that should be Egypt's greatest ever player, but he's never actually won an AFCON, an African Cup of Nations. This is a nation that has an incredible history in that competition. They've won it seven times. Yet Salah, the guy that's probably had the best club career of any Egyptian footballer, has never lifted that trophy. This achievement here, taking Egypt to the World Cup knockout stage for the first time, is therefore really significant for Mo Salah. You know, it could push him up right above, you know, the peers to maybe make him the greatest Egyptian footballer ever if he continues to guide Egypt further in this tournament. Significantly, he's on 68 international goals. That's one behind Egypt's greatest ever goal scorer, who has 69. And it's who else but Hassan Hassam, his coach. So plenty to play for Salah, and we're definitely expecting to see him out there tomorrow.
A nation of 120 million. And as I understand it, they believe they should definitely win this game. Talk to me about Dallas, Texas. I assume it's exceedingly hot. They say everything's bigger in Texas. You've been to the venue. Help us understand what the conditions are like, what sort of crowd we're expecting, and even the split, I suppose, of support.
We're expecting generally about 10,000 Australians to each game. That was for the group games. And some will have gone home. So it's actually a bit of a mystery to see how many stayed on. It's going to be a very strong Australian contingent, though. All very obvious in their yellow. But they will have to rely on all their ability to tolerate heat, because it is hot here. I think it was about 36 today in Dallas. It tipped to maybe go up to 37, even 38 tomorrow. The fans are fortunate because it's an early kickoff, 1 p.m. They won't be traveling to the game in that hot afternoon sun. And inside the stadium, this extraordinary stadium here, 80,000 seats and air conditioned, means there will be no issue, heat issues for the players or fans during the match.
Obviously just went outside with everyone and checked it out, and yeah, the air conditioning's definitely a bonus.
I think there'll be some pretty unusual scenes before the match and afterwards. The Socceroos active support are meeting at 7 a.m. at a local bar, about 15 minutes walk from the stadium. So they are going to be in good spirits by the time kickoff starts. And they'll have to walk through a whole bunch of car parks. The setting of this stadium is extraordinary. So we've got this 80,000 seat stadium. It can actually hold a bit over 100,000 with standing room. But surrounding it is more than 30 parking lots with 24,000 car spaces. Now, obviously, this is an area with no public transport, so everyone tends to drive to the game. But it also is part of the great American tradition of tailgating. And we're already seeing around the car parks them installing a whole bunch of portaloos. So if it's not going to be in the bar, 15 minutes walk away, I tend to think a lot of people will be having a drink in and around their cars prior to the game.
Sounds like it's going to be an absolute cracker on and off the pitch. Jack Snape, appreciate you breaking it all down. Thanks so much.
Pleasure, Pat. I'm actually getting kicked out of here now. So, and as someone who was in Kaiserslautern 20 years ago, let's hope they can do it.
Said Nabawi is a football writer and presenter for Win Win magazine in Egypt. It's fantastic to have him here to give us the Egyptian perspective on this huge clash. Said, welcome. What's the expectation like in Egypt about your nation's clash with the Socceroos?
Expectations in Egypt are very high. At the same time, there's also a sense of caution, especially since we are not used to facing Australia. We have only played one friendly game, but we know they are a strong team with quality players. So it will be a very difficult game for both teams.
I think it's interesting. In both nations, there's a hope and belief that you can win the game and go to the next round. But what would a loss mean for Egypt? What would a win mean for Egypt?
Yeah, to be honest, we are living a beautiful dream in Egypt. And for the first time in our World Cup history, we managed to win a match beating New Zealand and qualified for the knockout stage for the first time. Naturally, we are hoping to go even farther. Losing to Australia would therefore be a huge disappointment, especially since there is not a sufficient gap between the two teams. In fact, some fans here in Egypt are already talking about the potential meeting with Argentina in the next round. We all hope here in Egypt to win against Australia and qualify to the next round.
So much of the lead-in has focused on your star striker, Mo Salah. What's the expectation around him?
Yeah, for sure. Mo Salah is one of the best players in Egypt, and one of the best in our history. His participation in a game like this will be very important for us. Salah took part in Egypt's latest fall training session and he's expected to be available for Hussam Hassan, our head coach. However, it has not been yet decided whether he will start in the lineup or be used as substitute from the bench. Either way, his presence is a major boost for Egyptian national team, and we all hope to see him start the game from the first and helping us to win and qualify to the next round.
How big, Saeed, is this game or this tournament for Mo Salah and his legacy? I know that the coach is seen as one of the all-time greatest ever Egyptian players. In terms of enhancing Mo Salah's legacy, how important is this World Cup?
Yeah, for sure. Mo Salah is our captain, and he trying to help us to go so far as he can in the World Cup. Because you know, Salah leave Liverpool in the summer, and he's now without any club. And he tried to continue his path in the football and his legacy. For us as Egyptians, we are considering him the best player in our history. We are hope that he can lead us to go far away in this World Cup, to write a history for himself and also to write a history for Egypt.
This game is going to be in 4 a.m. in the morning in Melbourne and Sydney, major cities within Australia. And victory will be a cause of huge celebration. Thousands of people on the street. More than 100 million Egyptians will be probably all watching this game at once. What will it look like? What will the scenes look like if you're victorious?
Yeah, for sure. Here in Egypt, there's more than 120 million Egyptian, not just in Egypt, but also around the world. They are waiting our games, and they are waiting to celebrate our history. As I told you, we have never lived moments like this in our history, especially in the World Cup for the first time. The difference in time is very difficult for us to watch the team. Last game against Iran, it was at 6 a.m. Here in Egypt, and all Egyptians watch the game and they celebrate that we are qualified to the next round. For sure, the game against Australia will be at 9 p.m. And I think it's a good time for us as Egyptians to see the game and to support our players and to celebrate for sure after the game. And we are hope to celebrate in our homes and in our streets with this team and continue living our dream.
Saeed, it's going to be a fantastic clash. We wish you all the best. I hope that Australia wins, of course, but hope it's a good game.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also hope to see a good game from the both of teams, and also I hope for my country to win for Egypt. I hope we can win and qualify to the next round for sure.
Before we get to headlines, a reminder, obviously Socceroos v Egypt is early, 4 a.m. Melbourne and Sydney time, Saturday morning. For a massive game, you need massive amounts of podcast content. We're going to have analysis right in the shadows of full time. Then, in the afternoon, Mark Schwarzer will provide his full analysis. A Socceroos legend, 109 caps to his name, breaking it all down for you. One day, two podcasts covering the Socceroos v Egypt. Headlines. Ronaldo v Modric, Portugal v Croatia. We got a classic in Toronto. Croatia's golden generation, they're greying at the temples a bit. Modric is 40. Could he and teammates upset one of the strongest teams in the tournament? They stole a lead after veteran Ivan Perisic scored early in the second half. A borderline penalty shout saw Ronaldo level the scores from the penalty spot. That's his first ever goal in a World Cup knockout stage. The veteran was then subbed off in the 81st minute and watched on as Mateus Gonçalo Ramos sent them ahead.
For the early ball.
Still, Croatia was not done. They pushed and pushed, and in the 12th minute of stoppage time, thought they'd drawn it. But those scenes were a buzz waiting to be killed by VAR, who correctly ruled that goal out offside. Modric reaches the end of the road, and it was quite nice seeing him and Ronaldo, former teammates, hug it out at full time. Ronaldo and Portugal, they ride on, and they'll next face Spain, who thumped Austria 3-0. Mikel Oyarzabal scored twice in a comprehensive victory. They've been somewhat under the radar, but a clash between neighbours in the round of 16, Portugal v Spain, that's going to get a lot of attention. The final game of the day was Switzerland v Algeria. We wanted to get this episode in your feed as soon as possible before the Socceroos game. So to see who triumphed there, go to the ABC Sport website. And finally, if you think we take sport a little bit too seriously in Australia, have a listen to the fans absolutely baying for blood in South Korea after the national team returned home, having missed the knockout stage. They do not mess around in South Korea. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS and The Guardian Football for the extra audio used in this episode.